India's Despotic Election, Part 2. Debashish Roy Chowdhury. Project Syndicate. May 3, 2024. Unchecked imbalances. Predictably, the Election Commission has since turned a blind eye to even the most obvious violations by the BJP, which is openly deploying vile, othering tropes against Muslims to mobilize Hindu votes. One of its promotional videos was so replete with hate speech that Instagram removed it. And Modi himself is giving speeches calling Muslims infiltrators who produce more children than Hindus, and claiming that if Congress comes to power, it will seize Hindus' wealth and distribute it to Muslims. Even though these statements violate election rules that clearly prohibit using religion in electoral campaigns, the commission is simply ignoring them along with hate speech complaints that have been lodged against the Prime Minister. At the same time, a submissive judiciary says there is nothing that can be done about it. The Election Commission has also ignored repeated complaints by opposition parties and civil society groups about the reliability of electronic voting machines and the absence of a matching paper trail to cross-check votes. Precisely because they are not considered fully secure, no other major democracy relies solely on electronic voting. As the seven-phase election proceeds, the Commission's actions have continued to raise questions. The BJP has already won two seats without a vote, because the opposition candidates left the race. One simply dropped out, and while it is widely assumed that pressure had been brought to bear, the Commission has made no inquiry into the matter. There are also widespread reports of Muslim voters being removed from electoral rolls, as happened in the 2019 elections. And adding to the fears of vote rigging, the Commission has been inexplicably slow in releasing voter turnout data, and even when it does issue figures, they are incomplete and suspiciously incongruous. An election watchdog manifestly beholden to the incumbent government raises serious questions about the validity of the process, especially when seen in conjunction with the flagrant use of other governing institutions to fortify executive power. Federal agencies have been routinely harassing opposition figures with raids, detentions, and interrogations until they fall into line, leaving opposition parties splintered and their leaders silenced or forced to switch allegiances. Switch allegiances refers to the act of changing one's loyalty, support, or affiliation from one group, cause, or individual to another. In the context of the phrase provided, it suggests that opposition leaders are being coerced or pressured into abandoning their current political alliances or affiliations and aligning themselves with the ruling party or government. Two opposition chief ministers have even been thrown in jail over unproven charges, making elections in these two states not too different from the sham elections seen in countries like Bangladesh. In a functioning democracy, the media would have shone a spotlight on such grievous violations of democratic governance. But the media is among the institutions that Modi has tamed the most. Once a riotous lot that aimed to outdo one another in exposing government failures, much of the mainstream media, especially national-level news channels, now compete for the government's affections. Known collectively as the Godi, lapdog, media, these outlets have ceased to be a watchdog, and instead dutifully churn out pro-government messages. The smallest of Modi's events are broadcast live, while the biggest opposition rallies sometimes receive no coverage at all. Mainstream outlets also enthusiastically spread hate against Modi's chosen enemies, Muslims, the opposition, and liberals. They mock opposition figures, heap praise on Modi's every act and utterance, and cheer whenever nonviolent dissenters are thrown in jail. As in Viktor Orbán's Hungary, this comprehensive transformation of India's media landscape has been achieved partly by having cronies and sympathetic tycoons buy up the big publishers, whose newsrooms are duly purged. The government also uses its status as a major source of advertising revenues and business favors to keep media companies in line. Indeed, some of the biggest buyers of electoral bonds were media companies with other business interests. Bombarded by the media's pro-Modi spin and high on public incitement against minorities, a sizable share of India's electorate has come to see Modi as a national savior. Modi's control over this base of voters is as complete as his grip on big business and democratic institutions. With many of the institutional checks and balances that one associates with democracy fundamentally weakened, India has become what Thomas Jefferson would call an elective despotism. Power is increasingly concentrated in the hands of the, technically, elected political executive. While some of India's democratic shortcomings predate Modi's rule, they have worsened significantly under the BJP. For example, there is effectively no internal democracy within the political parties, because anti-defection laws allow parties to exercise absolute control over legislators. As a result, a ruling party with enough seats, like the BJP, can ram any law through parliament without debate or deliberation, making the legislature redundant. Last December, BJP-nominated House speakers suspended 141 opposition lawmakers from both chambers of parliament and then legislated unopposed for the remainder of the session. While oversight institutions, such as the higher-level bureaucracy and investigative and regulatory agencies, never had very much autonomy, they no longer even pretend to respect democratic norms and conventions. A regime bent on transforming the very nature of the Indian state has no time for gentlemen's agreements. Even the relatively independent judiciary has been forced to take the path of least resistance. The concentration of political power under the BJP coincides with a concentration of economic power, with each feeding off the other. The market share of the five biggest conglomerates has doubled since the 1990s, while the share of the next five big business groups has halved. Like Vladimir Putin's Russia, the Indian market is evolving into an oligopoly as Modi's government showers favors on select firms. India is no longer the model free market democracy that Westerners spend years imagining, encouraging, and touting. Both its markets and its politics are becoming less free and ever more entwined. This election is yet another manifestation of this drift. In this context, drift refers to a gradual or incremental movement or change, often without a clear direction or purpose. Specifically, it indicates a trend or pattern where both the markets and politics of a certain country, presumably India, given the earlier mention of Prime Minister Narendra Modi, are shifting towards decreased freedom and increased intertwining. The phrase suggests that there is a noticeable and concerning movement towards less freedom in both economic markets and political arenas, and this trend is becoming increasingly interconnected. The use of drift implies that this shift is not sudden or abrupt but rather a gradual, ongoing process that is evident over time. The mention of the election is yet another manifestation of this drift suggests that the current election is further evidence or illustration of this broader trend towards reduced freedom and increased intertwining of markets and politics in the country. Free and fair elections are the most basic criterion of democracy. Modi's India falls far short of meeting it. Debsish Roy Chowdhury is the co-author, with John Keane, of To Kill a Democracy, India's Passage to Despotism, Oxford University Press, 2021.